Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to The Vanished ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or Apple Podcasts.
There you go. You're saying one thing and then you say another. Same thing you accused me of.
I haven't accused you of anything or done anything. I'm just asking you to do some steps in the future.
Why has this changed?
Yeah.
It's very, very difficult on my end to hear you do that.
Well, it's more difficult on my end. I'm the kid and you're the parent. So step it up and stop being a coward and stop playing the victim.
I'm not playing the victim, and I'm not playing the coward. Because I don't want to discuss it because of the way you take it off and what direction you take it to. It doesn't mean I'm a coward. I just don't like getting into a conversation that keeps swirling around the same damn thing.
I'm telling you that I need your help emotionally and also to find her, and you're running in the opposite direction. If you want to talk to me, then go and talk to the police or hire PI. Instead, you've hired a criminal defense lawyer to save your ass.
She left.
I would give literally anything to have her for another, day or another hour, another minute. Because I love her. She loved me more than she loved herself.
On June 20th, 2019, 51-year-old Angela Green had an argument with her 18-year-old daughter, Ellie, who had just completed a study abroad program in Italy and was back home to work for the summer. During the argument, Angela told Ellie to leave the family home in Prairie Village, Kansas. Ellie left, and that's the last time she ever saw her mom. You learned in part one of Angela's story that this argument was just the beginning of a bizarre series of events, with Angela's husband Jeff telling various different stories about what happened to her back in the summer of 2019. More than a year later, what happened to Angela remains a mystery. I'm Marissa, and from Wondery, this is episode 249 of The Vanished, part two of Angela Green's story. Audible offers thousands of popular favorites, exclusive new series, guided wellness programs, comedy, and exciting new voices in audio. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. The Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere, while traveling, working out, walking, doing chores, you decide. I like to listen a little bit each evening while I'm cooking dinner, and it's great for my evening walks too. Recently, I've been listening to Lay Them to Rest by Laura Norton. It's a fantastic audiobook. You don't want to miss it. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. That's audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. In part one, we heard from Angela's daughter, Ellie, as well as her loved ones to hear about Angela's life. We also discussed her strange disappearance and the even stranger events that have taken place since Ellie last saw her mom over a year ago. The one person we didn't hear from in part one was Angela's husband and Ellie's dad, Jeff. Though we weren't able to reach him directly for an interview, we have some insight into what he was thinking through audio recordings of conversations that Jeff had. In the first several conversations Ellie had with her dad in early 2020, she was attempting to find out what happened to Angela. In this first clip, you'll hear Jeff tell a story that doesn't quite make sense.
I was going to force her to go see a doctor. So I guess she took that and decided that it was time to do something. So she, I'm assuming all this. I really don't know if this is correct or not. Anyway, what happened was I got a call at work that she was going to the hospital to get checked out. And And then I got a call that she was being evaluated, and I couldn't see her until, I guess it was the following weekend. So I made plans to kind of go down. Right. Set aside time. I didn't make any plans to do anything other than, okay, when I find out that I can come see her, I could see her.
And where was that?
Well, that I need to see if I can find out something, because I didn't get any, this is all done by phone at work when it's busy and it's crazy. And it was like, we'll call you back and let you know when you come. And so, okay. So I figured I'd get information on where to go at that time. And then I got a call that she had passed away, and then I got a call that funeral things, and what do I want to do? And I'm like, oh, my God, and it's crazy time, and I can't hardly think straight. And it's like, okay, let's do a cremation, because I don't know what kind of arrangements we're going to be able to make or how soon. And so then I got a call that someone's going to come by the house and pick up money for the cremation, and so they did that, and then they dropped, I've got an urn, and they dropped the urn back by, and it was all done by phone, and now that I think about it, it was like...
When was that?
That was back in July, so...
What about the story you told me about, like, taking her from a parking lot and...
I didn't want you to think that she had run off with some stranger to do something, and I just thought it would be,
Well, Dad, you know I want the truth.
And the truth is that she kind of disappeared. I didn't want you to think that she'd, run off and gone somewhere, so...
Did you hurt Mom?
No, I wanted to get her help with the doctor to find out what the issues could be that she had that could get taken care of through talking to a psychiatrist, or I was thinking it was more of a medical thing, so.
What doctor did you contact?
I didn't contact a doctor. I needed to take it to any doctor. I told her we could go to our doctor. I told her we could go to any doctor she wanted to. So.
What's your doctor? Like, what was her doctor?
Her doctor, she's only been to one doctor in her entire life while she's been here, and that was the doctor that she went to see who was there for your birth way back then, 20 years ago. That's it. She absolutely refused to go see a doctor for anything.
Well... I hope you're telling the truth, and I just want to know the truth. As bad as it is, like, it stresses everybody out, so just tell me.
Yes, I know it does.
Just tell me as soon as possible, like, seriously. It's so not fair. You know, I'm her daughter, she loved me. She would want me to know the truth. So I don't want any fabrication of stories anymore. Do you understand?
Yes, I understand.
Even if you're trying to protect me, just tell me the truth.
Yes, I will.
Hoping that her dad would tell the truth, Ellie called him back the next day and asked him to tell her what happened, starting with the last day Ellie saw Angela.
Can you start from the beginning after she told me to leave? Like, how did she act after she threw the flowers at me and I backed out of the driveway and left? Like, how was she?
Just... same as she'd been before that, from what I saw, she was building her nest to stay in and not contacting anybody, not wanting to talk to anybody or go anywhere, do anything.
How long did that last?
Well, it was that way, slowly getting that way for over a year. And I would tell her that she needs to go see the doctor. She needs to go get this checked, get that checked. I told her that we could do it here. We could do it with my doctor. There are women at that doctor's place. She could meet some of the women. And we could go to the hospital. We could go to the Marvin could take her to the doctor. I mean, I tried to get her to do everything. Then I told you about the plan that I had to
trigger. And I thought, well, maybe there's some other things. So I checked with mental health, and they told me that there's a code you can use if you call the police, and they'll come and they'll take the person in for evaluation. I thought, well, that'd be a much better way to do it. So I explained so that Angela could save face. I told her that she needs to get checked out. She can either get checked out voluntarily and go, or she can be forced to go get checked out. There could be estrogen levels that are off that can be fixed very easily with a pill. There's chemical imbalances. She was eating goji berries by the handful every day, which I know is not good. We're talking to a mental health person to kind of get her back out of whatever.
Which mental health places did you look at?
Oh, I didn't look at a particular mental health place. I didn't care which doctor, which hospital, which mental health place. None of that mattered as long as she went to see somebody. The only thing I wanted to do was get her to go see somebody.
So then when was the last time you saw Mom?
Gosh, I don't know. I didn't write it down. I'd have to go.
How many days after I was kicked out did she leave? Or like it was hours or a day?
I remember everything about you getting kicked out other than she kicked you out and I went in and told her that this is it. It's gone too far. You need to stop. This is what has to happen. But as far as what day it was, I don't know. I'll have to see if there's, I can jog my memory as far as what day it was.
The day that I was kicked out, so did she run away that night, or did she run away like the next day?
It was later. It was later than that because, I don't know, it was later than that.
Was in July?
I'm trying to remember whether it was before July 4th or after July 4th. Because that's a date that's important to.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'd have to think about it. All I know is it's somewhere around there.
June 23rd, that was a Friday, after she had kicked me out, you told me the front door was open, you're welcome to come back in anytime. So I thought that she had been taken away and that it was safe to come back. Like, did you think that she ran away and she would never come back?
Well, I don't know whether she was going to come back or not come back.
Did she take anything with her? Like, you know, her purse, the black one that she has?
No, I don't know what she took with her.
Is that still at home? Because, you know, we went through her things.
Right. I haven't thrown any of her stuff out other than the terrible torn things that we found. The rest of the stuff is all there.
So she just slammed the door and left, and was there did she go in a car?
She left while I was at work. So I don't know what she left with.
So she left, and you don't remember which day she left while you were at work?
No, that's the busiest time of the year for me at work.
Yeah, I know that. So the other thing is, like, I know you care about her, and like, knowing you as a person, why did you not go after her and file a police report?
Because she's gone before for a few days and she came back. So I wasn't concerned. I don't have all the answers. I don't know. Because until we talk to her, we're not going to have all the answers. It's just the way it's going to be.
So after she ran away while you were at work, did she ever come back?
I did not see her back.
Does she have a key to the house? Does she have a key? Because she doesn't know the garage door password.
Yeah, I know she doesn't know the garage door password. Yes, she has a key. She's used the key to keep me out. Dropped into the trash and couldn't get back in.
I guess, like, I'm so surprised that you didn't file a police report for, like, a missing person or anything. Or, like, try to find her. Like, you just let her go. Like, I thought you cared about her more than that.
Jeff disagreed with Ellie. arguing that he does care about Angela, but his account of what happened to her continued without making any sense.
Well, I do, but she's an adult. She can take care of herself. She can decide to stay away or come back.
Did she take her driver's license or her passport?
Driver's license. I don't know if I've seen her passport. I know her Chinese passport's there at home. She didn't have an American passport. I wanted her to get an American passport a year ago so that if we needed to travel somewhere, we could travel. So I wanted her to get that. She did get a new driver's license. That took a little doing to get her down to get that done.
I know that. Where is that one? Still at home?
Yeah, I guess it's with her.
One thing that Jeff has told Ellie is that he believes that it's possible that Angela had been coming in and out of the house after her disappearance. Ellie asked Jeff to explain this further.
Then I know you said, like, she would re-enter the house. How many times did she do that? Like, does she still go back into the house now?
I'm not sure. I've noticed there are some things that I think are unusual, like, I didn't put that there, or the other day I noticed there was a drawer that was slightly open. I thought it shouldn't be open because I polished all the furniture and closed all the drawers. So, I don't know. She knows I'm gone during the day.
How long ago was like that drawer open?
Beats me because I just noticed it a week or so ago. I didn't tie it to anything until I heard there was no death certificate. And I thought, oh, that's another unusual thing.
We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on, but when it comes to your health, there's no compromise. So don't settle for that one doctor that isn't really addressing your needs. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable, and you can even search by location, availability, and insurance. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're searching for. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 and 72 hours. That's it. I use this, and you should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/vanished and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/vanished. ZocDoc.com/vanished. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. When you're a parent, you'll have your fair share of big talks with your kids. One of those big talks should involve money, and Greenlight can help with that. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families. You can send your kids instant money transfers, get real-time notifications of spending, manage chores, and automate allowance. I've been using Greenlight with my older two kids for years. One thing that I love about it is that I can set up recurring or one-time chores, customized to my family's needs, and then my kids earn an allowance to reward them for a job well done. Not only does it motivate them to actually get the chores done, but it also teaches them a bit about financial literacy and independence. They're learning to earn, save, and spend wisely. So stop putting off the money talk and start putting your kids on the right path. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/vanished. That's greenlight.com/vanished to try Greenlight for free. One more time, that's greenlight.com/vanished. In another call, Ellie again asked about Angela coming back to the house after she had disappeared. Jeff told her about some other times he believed she had come into the house.
Around September, I was coming home and I saw somebody walking from the house out to the street, got in the car and left. And I was a couple blocks away, and I didn't think much of it. And I thought, well, that's one of those people dropping off a flyer or something like that. Got in the house, didn't see or notice anything, although the person did, now that I think about it, looking back on it, it's like, what? It was kind of like
about the right size for Angela. I have noticed a few weird things, like when I clean up on Saturday, I sweep the house around through, and it's like, well, I don't remember dragging in all that dirt from outside when I put the trash out during the week, and occasionally I'll notice that I think something's not quite where it was before, or a drawer's a little bit open, and it's like, I don't remember doing that. That's weird. But my memory's not as sharp as it used to be. And I didn't think anything about Angela still being, the possibility of her still being alive, until you told me that there's no death certificate, and it's like, oh my gosh, well, maybe she is alive. But without any supporting evidence, without anybody seeing her or anything, who knows? So at the moment, I have no idea which way to go or what the truth is or what's going on until we find some more information. So it's been real weird.
One of the most puzzling aspects of Angela's story that we discussed in part one is the mysterious urn that Ellie was told a stranger brought to her father's front door in exchange for cash. Ellie asked Jeff to explain to her what happened and how come she nor the police ever found a death certificate for Angela anywhere nationwide.
Who came by for the cremation?
Oh, I don't know. Male, about 45, a man, Caucasian, dark hair. That's all I can remember from way back when.
How much money was it?
No, it wasn't much. It was $1,500, which is about right for cremation, so.
And where are the ashes at now?
Well, that's the other thing. I got the urn back, and I didn't check it until just this past weekend, and I thought, should I open the urn, you know? So I finally did. I opened it up, and it's empty, so there were no ashes in it. So it felt screwy.
Where is the urn?
The urn's at home in Prairie Village. I put it up on the shelf when I got it and didn't think anything about it.
Can you see it?
You gotta remember that during that time, I was very upset and beside myself and sad, and emotions were going all kinds of weird ways, and the loss and grief and everything, and it's like I didn't check anything.
Can I see the urn?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, absolutely. So that's all I know at this point. And the past few days have been very stressful, so.
After this call with her father, Ellie learned more about cremation and made a list of further questions she wanted to ask when she spoke to him next.
When somebody has to be cremated, like my friend's grandma had to be cremated, and you have to have a death certificate to do that. Like, you have to have a death certificate to be able to cremate somebody. And so when that person showed up and told you that she was going to be cremated, knowing who you are and how inquisitive you are, why didn't you, like, question who they were, where they were from? How did you pay for the cremation? Like, all cash, credit card?
It was paid in cash. Most everything was done over the phone. It was not a good time because we were mourning her death.
I'm surprised that you wouldn't have, like, asked who they were or, like, what hospital she died at, you know? Because everything is on record. Every death certificate is on record.
Right. Yep.
And you didn't question the person when they, like, went up and went to the front door and asked you?
No, because it all seemed logical over the phone, considering what little I knew about all the stuff that was needed and the mental condition that I was in.
If you're thinking that Jeff had a somewhat indifferent tone towards his wife being missing, we thought the same. But everyone reacts and grieves differently, so we can't say what he was actually going through or dealing with. Ellie was determined not to give up. So in another conversation a few days later, She redirected her dad back to talking about Angela and asked him if his story was still the same.
Has your story about Mom changed anymore?
No.
Because first it was, you know, she's dead, and then now it's she's disappeared, so...
Yeah, because I got a call that she was. She had passed away, so...
But you can't tell me anything about that call, or who called you, or where, or anything.
No, because I was very busy at that particular point in time, so I didn't worry about it, because I knew that information would come in different ways.
But you excuse yourself from work. Like, whenever I call you, you excuse yourself from work.
Well, it depends on what's going on. Most of the time, there's not a...
But it's like Mom's dead. Why would you not excuse yourself from work? You would go into the other room and you'd talk to me. And somebody doesn't just show up to your house with an urn. And I know you, and you're not going to agree to pay $1,500 in cash. Like, you will ask all the questions that you can before you hand over any amount of money. You can say that you are emotionally whatever in a place of turmoil and grief and whatever, but you would still ask all the questions that you needed to.
No, not necessarily. No. Nope.
Somebody's not just show up to your house. Send me a picture there.
I will.
Okay.
Yes.
But I don't believe your stories.
Well, I don't know what to tell you other than I hope that some information comes in the future here to...
Well, you have more information. You're just not telling me.
I don't have any more information.
Well, if that's what you...
I have more information, I would tell you.
Or you have more information, you want to save yourself, and that's what your lawyer tells you. I don't know.
No, that's not... No.
If Mom's coming back in and out of the house, why would you get rid of all of her stuff?
I haven't gotten rid of all of her stuff.
You made me get rid of a whole bunch of stuff.
We went through and got rid of the stuff that was not all that great. There's still a dresser drawer full of stuff, suitcases full of stuff. There's a bunch of stuff of hers here.
Yeah, but there's also a bunch of stuff of hers. Why would you not all leave it in place for when she came back and she needed it? You know she was gone.
I know she was gone, and I believe she had died, and only long after that did doubts start to creep in, and now it looks like it may not be that she had passed away, so...
Well, I doubt you.
All right. I don't know that I can change that just yet. Maybe in the future.
Give me some sort of evidence that I shouldn't doubt you.
As soon as I have something, I will let you know.
You will say all of these, like, let's wait, and I'll find something else later, but there's absolutely no action from it, ever. You're like, the death certificate is at home, the ashes are at home, none of it's at home. You know that, but you lie to me.
I'm not lying to you. I don't have a story that's complete.
Straight. You don't have a story that's straight, that's full of gaping holes.
Ellie's bravery continued as she kept pressing her dad for answers and pointing out when he had lied to her. Over the course of their conversations, she began to become understandably frustrated that she couldn't get any straight answers from her father.
She could go on her own. I would take her. She'd go with a friend, whatever she wanted to do. Or people would come and take her, and she would be forced to go.
She doesn't have any friends.
Well, that's kind of what I thought. She didn't have any friends, but I'm not so sure.
She doesn't have any friends. She doesn't want to drive. She's scared to drive. She doesn't have a credit card. Doesn't have a debit card. Doesn't have her phone.
She isn't afraid to drive.
Yeah, she is pretty afraid to drive.
I never got the idea that she was afraid to drive.
She was afraid to drive, and that's also part of the reason why she didn't want to go get her driver's license renewed. The only reason she drove was to and from school, and that was for me. So she got over her fear of driving to do something for me. She never once got on the highway.
You think it was some, like, secret cult?
I don't know. Maybe it was a way to get back at me. Bit of a mean streak there.
Is there a Chinese church around?
There's lots of them. Why?
Because I don't know if she would have gone there to, like, seek refuge or help or anything.
Oh, I doubt that. I doubt that she's gone to a Chinese church.
I don't know what friends she had, like,
I don't either,
before the summer I went off. I don't know.
Hey, a couple days there, a few days another time, so she was off with somebody helping her. So that person could have helped her this time, too, and maybe still help her.
Did you ever hint that she'd want to leave or escape or run away?
No, the only thing I could see is that she wanted to have you go away, and she wanted to have me go away, but she was going to stay, so I offered that she go see her sister for a little while. She goes see her mom for a little while. So I threw those at her, but she wasn't interested in those. She was going to take you and her, and I was going along to China, then I was going to stay in Beijing, and you and her only were going to the house to see her mom.
Do you think she is in China, like ran away or wanted to run away to China?
Oh, I haven't got a clue. Don't know. I hadn't really thought that was a possibility, but it might be, yeah.
I don't know where her friend came from.
No, I don't either, but she was home all day. She had a phone so she could watch videos, she could watch
All of those were of me. Like, all the pictures and videos and stuff, they were all of me. She'd watch those because she missed me.
Right. But she still had contact that way, and of course she had contact with people who came into the neighborhood. I don't know, and I don't know whether she went to the store or someplace else during the day. She had the car and she could drive. And you were gone and I was gone for hours and hours, so I don't know.
Where do you think she is? Or, like, what do you think happened?
I think she met someone, and my first thought is she has a friend. Other than that, I wouldn't think it worked out, but I don't know. Maybe she's got a job somewhere. I don't know. I don't think this is the first time that this has happened to her. So.
When was the first time?
But that's a story for discussion to have sometime in the future.
Also, they haven't found any job record of her, so.
Yeah, I know.
Did she active on any of your bank accounts?
Nothing that I've seen so far, no. So maybe she's got a friend that's supporting her for the moment.
I don't know. I still don't believe that about her, really.
Yeah, I'd say it's probably 50-50. So, we'll see what happens.
Did she fake her death?
I think not so much her fake her death as much as pulled a scam on me to make me feel bad, get back at me, whatever.
Well, she didn't use any Amtrak. She hasn't used any airplane. She hasn't been out of the country. She hasn't gone anywhere. There is no record of that.
People disappear all the time. That's all I can say on your analysis of things. They don't go and show up here and there and other places like you're expecting or someone's expecting.
No, Mom certainly doesn't just disappear. She's obsessed with me.
She's obsessed with what?
She's obsessed with me. She was always obsessed with me.
Not towards the end.
Yes, she was. You still are not telling me everything.
I don't have anything
it will answer some of the questions that you're asking.
Well, because it doesn't line up with your story at all. Like, I know you're not the kind of idiot to just hand over $1,500 in cash.
When I'm not quite myself because of what happened, yeah, it's possible that I'll do that.
I don't believe that after knowing you for 19 years and you tell me to be skeptical. I doubt that you wouldn't be skeptical of somebody who just showed up to your house and asked you for that and told you that. That's just not how it works. You go to a funeral home. Say if she really disappeared, you cannot say that she disappeared, and then you tell me 4 days later when I look back in the text and you said, I want to remember the good things Mom did. You did not know that she was dead then, unless something else happened. You did not get a phone call that quickly. You can go back through the text, too. Like, in what world would you tell your daughter that her mom died when she really ran off?
That's the information I had. I wanted to get it to you before somebody else came with it to you. Because then what would you say?
You gave me that
information. Why didn't you tell me, Dad?
You gave me that information July 16th. After you had plenty of time. You've never been actually able to tell me what happened after I was kicked out of the house in that 4-day period of time.
While Jeff wasn't able to explain to Ellie anything that took place in the days after she was kicked out of the house, and the day Jeff texted Ellie about Angela being hospitalized, he did do one thing fairly quickly. He hired a criminal defense attorney. Here's Ellie asking him about that.
You got a lawyer, right?
Yes.
Like, to protect yourself?
Right. I do not have a lawyer for anything else.
Okay.
I got the lawyer because I don't know what to say to the police. I don't know what the police are thinking and whether they think that I'm somebody that can help and they want to talk to me to get some helpful ideas or whether they're don't want to talk to me because I'm the prime suspect and they know that something terrible has happened and none of the rest of us do. I don't know. So that's why I had an attorney.
Why did you get that particular lawyer?
I got a lawyer because I don't know what happens in these circumstances. So I got somebody to assist me if I need it. I don't know whether I'm going to need it.
Why didn't you just get a general criminal defense lawyer?
What do you mean by general? Criminal defense lawyer is a criminal defense lawyer.
They specialize in certain things.
I don't know what you're getting at here.
Your lawyer specializes in DUIs and involuntary manslaughter. Which, knowing you, I feel like you have done all your research in figuring out which type of lawyer you want.
I went and looked at the 5 best lawyers on a couple of lists, and he turned up on a couple of them. That's all I looked at and all I did. I have a list of 5, and he was on the top of the list, so I just started with him.
Just Google search?
Yep.
Did you know that's what you specialized in?
Not before I did a search and started my list of top 5. Top 5 here, top 5 there, top 10, what have you, and the ones that showed up on double lists, I made my own list and started at the top. He was on the top.
So, why don't you talk to them?
Because there hasn't been a reason for us to talk again yet. I know that that's what they're doing, is looking for a missing person.
Yeah, that's all they're doing at this point.
They have certain ways of doing that, and I can't do it any better than they can.
Over time, these conversations continued to become more twisted as details changed and Ellie tried to get her dad interested in searching for her mother. During multiple conversations, Ellie practically begged Jeff to help her search for Angela.
Do you want to together, like, try to find out where she is?
It'd be nice to use Packard again to find out what's going on.
Do you want to talk to me, like, together to find out where she is?
How are we gonna do that?
I don't... Go find the mental institutions, like, find the death certificates, file a missing persons report, like, all of that.
Well, I think the police are involved right now, so that's kind of taken care of. Death certificate you've already looked for, there isn't one. I wouldn't have a clue which facility to go check and ask about. And I'm thinking at this particular time that there never was one involved, so we won't find anything that way. This is all kind of new, so it'll take a while to sink in and come up with some ideas. But yeah, we can pursue some reasonable ones. I'm not going to drive to every medical facility.
No, I'm not saying that. I think, like, since we're immediate family members, you might be able to, like, ask about it. Like, with the death certificate, they'll give it to us immediately because we're family.
Yeah, but I think they also have to file with the state, don't they?
No, like, they'll give it to you immediately. Like, they'll do the search and they'll find it for you. Because that's what I did when I went to Topeka.
Okay, well, let me find out the rules on that a little bit so we know where to go look, because maybe we only have to check with Topeka.
Okay. I mean, I want to know where she is. Do you have a gut feeling whether she's alive or dead?
At this point, no, it's 50-50. I don't know what's going on yet.
All right. I want to find her, though.
Yeah, I know you do.
One thing that's been bugging Ellie is that while she's been doing everything she can to try to figure out what happened to her mom, she feels like her father isn't overly interested in finding answers. Why doesn't he seem more concerned about the woman he was married to for so many years?
I would like to have somebody contact her, whether it's one of us or somebody else, to know that she's okay. But I don't know that I'm going to go out actively looking, mainly because I don't know where to go look.
Why aren't you helping me find Mom?
I've been thinking about how to go about it, and I don't know exactly yet what to look at, what to look for, or where to go. I would think that the police are much better at looking for Mom. Like you say, fly list and the whatever list they can look at as far as people travel.
But you haven't made any effort to find Mom.
Because I don't know where to... don't know where to look. I don't know what to do to look for. You offer some suggestions here.
Go file a missing persons report at the police department. Go and tell them my wife is missing. Where is she?
And maybe with the way I look at the world and the way Mom is, if she wants to go off and do something, I'm fine with that.
So you don't care, and you don't care if she's safe or anything?
I do care if she's safe. It would be nice to hear from her.
But you don't care where she is.
I'm thinking that where she is, if she's gone, is someplace where she feels better than being here.
Even if that means that she's dead?
Well, no, I wouldn't want that to be the case necessarily, no.
Well, then why don't you figure out if she really is dead or not?
I can't go out and do that. I don't know. Again, I don't know where to look or what to look for. If you're asking me to do something that I don't think is very possible for people to do.
Well, the police can do it.
Yes, and they are doing it.
And you certainly have told them something different. You know that Mom doesn't go out and party ever. Out of the lies you could have picked, that was one of the worst ones.
It's not a lie, number one. And number two, she has gone out. You even stated that you knew that she'd gone out.
No, I haven't.
And number three, if she decides to go, then where am I going to look? How am I going to look? I don't know. You're asking for the impossible. You're trying to put something together here that just doesn't work.
We're all trying to put something together here, except for you.
No. You're No. You're trying to force your view of what should happen onto what I can do, and there's hundreds of people in the world, and they all do things a little differently. And you cannot apply what you're thinking to everybody in the world.
No, I'm not. I have a very open mind. You're the one who's forcing everything on me.
No, I'm not. And you're pretty closed on this.
I don't know whether she's dead or alive or ran away, was killed. I don't know. But I'm trying to figure it out.
I don't know either, other than I'm thinking at the moment that she's run away, and I'm hoping that she's alive.
But you were not going to help me find her, so.
Well, I don't. You're stating that as if I'm going to go out and walk up and down the streets and knock on doors and look for her. No. I'm not going to do that.
Well, no, but you can tell the police where she was the last time and everything like that, and you don't have to come up with a story that has a whole bunch of weird things going on and holes everywhere.
Is there anything else you want to talk about?
No.
All right. Well, I don't want to talk about this anymore today.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, I'll talk to you some other time.
Okay, hopefully soon. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Bye.
Jeff tried to make it clear to Ellie that he wanted to talk about anything other than Angela. But Ellie wasn't giving in. While she kept asking for answers, Jeff had some questions of his own, primarily about the police involvement in the search for Angela.
I don't know who did who requested the wellness check with the police department, but the police came by and that was real weird. And so, help me figure out, because that kind of threw a whole loop on things again. It's like, oh my God, maybe she's alive and have to go through all the grieving process again in the future if something happens, even if it's 20 years from now. So, I don't know. I'm still all mixed up, and it was real turmoil the last few days. And I talked to an attorney about, what's going on.
So have you been talking to the police a lot?
Not a lot, no. They've only questioned me a few times.
Yeah. In a situation like this, they look at the closest person as primary suspect.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't change until they find someone or something else. So I'm the closest person, so I'm the primary suspect. And who knows when that'll change. And then the other thing they do is they work very hard to make it so that the friends of the primary suspect, people that would assist or help or make them feel better, turn against them. So,
well, I haven't turned against you at all. I still haven't gotten over the fact that you've lied to me and said that Mom was taken away when she was actually disappeared or dead or whatever, so.
Okay, well, keep that in mind, that whatever they're saying is to manipulate you to make my life more miserable, because they eventually want me so isolated that I begin to think of the police as friends. So they're doing a...
They have just asked me straight logical questions. They haven't asked me, I haven't tied any emotion to it.
Yeah, well, just even the questions they ask tend to move your thought process one place or another, so.
I've always been skeptical. You've always told me to be skeptical, so.
Yeah, told you to be skeptical. That's correct. Okay, so if I hear anything about Mom, I'll let you know.
How would you hear anything about her?
Well, who knows? Maybe I'll hear it from the police. Maybe I'll hear it from her. Maybe I'll hear it from somewhere else. I don't know.
How would you hear it from her?
Well, if she's still alive, then maybe she'll call or something. I don't know.
I don't think she's still alive, Dad.
As this gets further along, and if it clears up to where I'm not the primary suspect in her death, because that's what they look at first, too. When the person goes missing, the first thing they think of, police think of, is that somebody's killed her. They don't put first on the list as she's run away, she's abducted, whatever. It was way down the list. So they've got a grid formula that they look at, and they work their way through that. So they're thinking everybody's bad, everybody's terrible. The worst thing possible has happened.
After several weeks of these tough conversations and no clear answers, Ellie finally had enough with her dad and knew she'd have to search for answers on her own without him. The last conversation is palpably painful, and it's difficult to imagine what Ellie must have been feeling.
Very, very frustrated. And yeah. Offended, and also pretty ashamed of your behavior. How stupid do you think I am, and easy to get things by me?
I don't think you're stupid. I don't know why you seem to have a storyline that I need to follow, and then you get upset and then follow it.
I don't have a storyline. You're the one that has a storyline.
Oh, no.
Yes. You aren't doing literally anything, and I don't know where the hell your head is at. And I would have much rather known if Mom ran off than that she died of a fake stroke in a fake hospital. You literally told me that she was not taken away in a public parking lot with people.
Well, I thought that I was going to try and do that, and then I figured that that may not be the best thing. So I told her that I was going to have people come and pick her up, and she was going to go to the hospital that way, or she could go on her own.
That's completely different from what you told me in the past.
No, I told you no.
And over text.
And then there was possibility, after I continued looking around, that I could get people to take her there and I wouldn't have to do the trick thing. So that's what I told her.
People there to take her?
She could go on her own. I would take her. She'd go with a friend, whatever she wanted to do. Or people would come and take her and she would be forced to go.
Well, she can't be forcefully held there.
She can't be forced to what?
She can't be forcefully held. And also, where are we going to take her?
She can be forced to go have some doctors look at her and evaluate her and determine what's up.
Yes, which doctor? Which hospital?
I don't know. You call the mental health care, you can call the police and give them a mental health care code thing, and they'll come and they'll assist with her going. But yes, there are ways to do that.
If you don't care about finding her, then find her for me.
Yes. I will look at it that way, yes.
And also, it's not just me who's going through so much stuff. I've lost a lot of weight, and my anti-anxiety, I'm on an antidepressant. It's pretty serious. And you haven't really asked in the past 8 months how I'm doing about her.
I haven't done what?
You haven't really asked, like, in that past 8 months, how I've been doing about her. You never asked.
Not specifically about you, how you've been doing with her, feelings towards her.
Yeah, like, how you've been feeling, knowing that she's been dead. You know, like, how have you done with the grieving process? You've never asked that.
I've asked how you have been.
I've respected a liar. So hopefully it's time that you respect me, because I've had absolutely enough.
Told you before, and I'll tell you again, I'm not lying.
You lied to me in the past.
As soon as I find out any information, I will let you know about it.
How are you going to find... Okay, we're not going in circles again.
I don't know how I'm going to find out. If I find something out, I will let you know.
Will you get into the police station tomorrow with me?
No.
With your attorney?
No. No, I'm not going to get into...
You're not going to get into finding her?
You doing a cross-examination
like you have been on just about every phone call. Taking things and turning them around and twisting them.
No, I don't turn anything around.
Like, I told you I don't like that, and I don't appreciate it either. You know, the support and the way that you treat another person goes both ways. Me to you and you to me.
Well, I have not been supported very well. And I just want to analyze things, and maybe you're not used to me analyzing everything or getting upset with you, but this time I have a lot of reasons to.
And then you wonder why I don't want to call you and have long conversations. I don't mind calling you and finding out what's going on, discussing things, and
yeah, not discuss the elephant in the room.
If all you want to do every single time is just talk about Mom, what I should or shouldn't be doing, I don't like doing that.
I just want to know where she is, because that's the biggest problem. I'm not going to pretend my life is perfect.
I don't have an answer for that. I had an answer, I tell you, and as soon as I do have an answer, I'll let you know.
Alright, fine. Well, I'm pissed, I'm offended, and I am ashamed of you. So, have a good day. And bye.
With messages, emails, phone calls in person, do you want to have conversations about anything except what we just talked about, which is rehashing the past 8 months and getting nowhere?
That's literally the biggest problem. And that's what I want to get through. That's
the biggest problem. And I don't have an answer to move past the biggest problem. I also don't think that rehashing the biggest problem over and over and over and over again is getting anywhere. It just keeps reinforcing the biggest problem.
All right, well, you can stay in your happy little bubble then.
I'm not in a happy little bubble, number one. And number two, I don't have the answers that you're looking for, so I don't know why you think I need to keep having an answer for you or coming up with an answer for you. I don't have it. I don't know what to give you or what to do in that particular instance on the subject matter of Mom. Otherwise, I'd be more than happy to talk and do things and whatever.
Yeah, I would too, but you're not doing anything about it, so I don't want to.
I'm not doing anything about Mom in your eyes, therefore I can't do anything at all, period, is kind of how you're looking at it.
What is doing anything about Mom in your eyes?
Well, I don't know. You keep coming up with talking to these people, hiring those people, going here, doing this, and I tell you that she left, and I'm not happy about that, and she's an adult, and if she decides to leave, then fine. She can leave. If she comes back, we'll talk about her coming back. But I don't want her back the way she was.
All right, well, your lawyer has taught you to stick with points well, so bye.
The Vanished is sponsored by BetterHelp. With social gatherings picking up after the winter, it can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin. It's a good time to think about the right amount of socializing for you. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you prefer more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. A therapist can help you learn how to set boundaries so you feel empowered to be the best version of yourself. Everyone can benefit from therapy. It's not just for those who've experienced major trauma. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, so it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/vanished today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/vanished.
You aren't sleeping, and you're stressed out. That's how it was for me, so I cleared out my cabinet and reset my health with CBD from CB Distillery. Their deep sleep gummies are amazing. CB Distillery's targeted formulations are made from the highest quality, clean ingredients. No fluff, no fillers, just pure, effective CBD solutions designed to help support your health. In two non-clinical surveys, 81% of customers experienced more calm, 80% said CBD helped with pain after physical activity, and an impressive 90% said they slept better with CBD. If you struggle with a health concern and haven't found relief, make the change to CB Distillery. And with over 2 million customers and a solid 100% money-back guarantee, CB Distillery is a source to trust. I have a 20% discount to get you started. Visit cbdistillery.com and use code VANISHED for 20% off. That's cbdistillery.com, code VANISHED. cbdistillery.com. Angela's disappearance seemed like it was one unbelievable development after the next. Ellie wanted to continue her relationship with her father and not lose both of her parents. But as you heard, Jeff was not going to go looking for Angela. When we spoke with Ellie, she told us some of the things that happened after the police started investigating.
They asked the lawyer that they did want to comment or come in, or he has no interest in finding her, basically. So his lawyer also lost a huge case because his client, who murdered a girl coming out of Target who went to a high school near me like a few years ago, his client said things in the police interview, so we're pretty sure that they won't want to come back to do another police interview. His attorney didn't do a good job in that case, but he is a well-known lawyer, like, in the Kansas City area, but he did lose that big case. My mom saved up a lot of money for me to go to college, and apparently it was enough for me to go to undergrad, and now she isn't pulling any money from that account, but my father is. He also bought a house here in Lawrence for my friends to live in next year. That was the plan until all of this blew up and I said there's no way I can live in that house and feel comfortable. So now he's just fixing it up and either he plans to move there or he's going to have it sold. I don't know where he had so much money to buy a house in the first place and then now fixing it up and having a lawyer. Like, this is all a lot of money. He tried to distract me and keep me happy, like, as much as possible. I needed a place to live. Oh, I'll buy a house for her. And then I would say something about mom and ask a question, and then he wouldn't answer. And he'd say, so what do you think about this tile that we should put in the bathroom? And I was like, what are those two things connected by? So, just distracting all the time.
Zach's mom, Sarah, tells us that Ellie has really struggled to maintain a relationship with her dad because she still can't seem to get any truthful answers from him, and she doesn't know what to believe about what happened to her mom.
They didn't seem overly close, but still not distant or angry. You could tell he was proud of her and adored her still. Just maybe his generation just didn't know how to show it very well. It always felt like maybe he wasn't saying a lot of things in our presence or to her, questions that she had, because, and this is what I told Ellie for months after that happened, you know, coming at it from a parent standpoint, he's looking out for you because he loves you. So he is thinking the best thing that he's doing is not sharing information with you because he doesn't want to upset you. So he thinks he's protecting you. And I know that's not what you need. You want answers and you want to know everything. But maybe that's what he's doing. Maybe he's thinking he's protecting you by not saying things, not knowing Jeff's personality that well and parenting style. We thought, well, that could be it. Maybe he thinks he's doing the best thing by not saying anything because that protects her from hurt and heartache and frustration and anger or whatever it is. Well, I think that has shifted and changed, and he has really shut down, and now he feels different after this whole investigation started. I would hear conversations on the phone, and he was kind of stilted and quiet, but wouldn't answer her questions. And then kind of as she got a little more aggressive with questioning him, I feel like his demeanor changed with her too. He kind of got frustrated with her always asking the same thing, like, I don't know the answer to that. And she doesn't see him anymore. She just talks to him on the phone. She's really angry with him for not answering her questions and not telling her the truth. She says, I know you're lying, Dad. I don't know what you're lying about, but you're lying about something. And he often just won't answer her. He just will flat out not say anything when she asks the question. In essence, it's like she's lost both parents. She's on her own, but this kid has such strength and resilience and is able to dig deep and get through this. She's a phenomenal human. And it has not dulled her capacity to love and to be warm and generous and happy and smile. You would think this would all just be the biggest weight on her shoulder and wear her down, but she still carries on and handles life and what it throws at her. She just keeps moving forward, and she hasn't given up, and she keeps fighting for this too. She's an admirable person, and she's only 19. It's a lot to handle at a young age, and the only child, you know, and a lot of her other family are not as supportive as they should be. We're glad to be her support system. And I told her, even back last summer before we discovered Angela actually hadn't died or didn't have a death certificate anymore, but just told her, and I told my son too, you know, you don't have to worry about if the two of you break up, that we're not going to be here for you. We're your family. Whatever capacity you need me or us to be in, I could be a surrogate mom. I could be your mentor, your friend, whatever it is that you need. I mean, we're here for life in her world and in her life, no matter what happens between the two of them. And sometimes that's a lot of pressure for young people thinking, well, we got to stay together now forever because of this thing. So I just kind of wanted to let them both off the hook thinking, no, don't think of it that way. Just know that the universe, you know, and fate sort of put us all together here for a reason, that we're supposed to be here for each other, and we will be.
You heard Zach's dad, Alan, mention earlier that Jeff seemed like a nice enough guy, even if he comes across as a little bit awkward. In fact, everyone we talked to had good things to say about him, which made Angela's disappearance and the subsequent events seem even more odd. Zach had spent some time working on projects with Jeff, and this is what he shared with us.
Honestly, it was pretty nice, you know. He's a cool guy. He was fun to hang out with. Just kind of a dude. He loved his cars. We could talk about cars. We also spent a lot of time fixing up the house that he bought in Lawrence for Ellie and her roommates and her friends to live at. And in hindsight, I realized that was part of, I don't know if a ploy is the right word, but kind of a ploy to distract Ellie from her mom. You know, just if Ellie wants somewhere to live with her roommates, he'll buy a house and fix it up. She needs something, he'll give it to her. That whole type of deal. So we spent a lot of time fixing up that house, and I enjoyed working on it with him. It was kind of fun.
On top of everything else Ellie has gone through, the police have exhausted all of their leads, and she has lost the support of her relatives on her dad's side of the family. In her continued search for answers, Ellie and her loved ones want to know why Jeff would have wanted her mother gone. Ellie's cousin Michelle told us more about this.
In July of this year, the police declared that the case had gone cold. They exhausted around 200 leads. They just weren't able to find anything. What is Jeff's motive? That's something that we would all love to know. I have no idea. He says that he made up the story about Angela being committed to a mental institution and Ellie and her being dead to protect Ellie. But we were thinking, in what world do you try to protect your daughter by telling her that her mother is dead? Like, she was devastated. And she said when he first told her, she just wailed and she just dropped to her knees. And then she, of course, had to mourn and grieve her mother's death, only to be told 7 months later that that wasn't true at all and that maybe her mom's alive. So we have no idea what his motive is. He refuses to speak with the police, and his lawyer hasn't commented on anything either. He and his whole side of the family all refuse to speak to the police. Ellie told me that I believe it's Jeff's brother's wife. So she calls her Aunt Marva. She said that once when she was talking to her on the phone, it was early on when they first found out that there was no death certificate and the police got involved. That's the only time that she spoke with her aunt about Angela. But Marva said, like, I don't know, like maybe an accident happened, something like that. And then after that, she was like, Ellie, I cannot like talk to you about any of this relating to your mom's death. Like, I'll talk to you about anything else, but I'm not talking to you about your mom anymore.
We did speak with the Prairie Village Police Department for this story. However, they didn't share any information with us and would only comment that Angela's case is an ongoing, active investigation. Ellie has been told that they now consider the case to be cold. It's worth noting that Angela remains the only missing person under the Prairie Village Police Department's jurisdiction. With this in mind, it seems strange that the police would classify Angela's case as a cold case, just 5 months after she was reported missing. Is it true that the police have run out of leads, or are they simply keeping information close to the vest? Sarah shared with us what she knows of the police investigation.
They were sort of stuck in needing to question him, but not being able to question him. I know they were frustrated, Ellie and our family was frustrated that he wasn't giving Ellie answers. The police couldn't ask him. It was kind of like, what do we do? We just sort of were at a standstill waiting for the police to uncover something, anything. Surprised, like there should be something, some tie somewhere. Internet search or phone record, although see that the phone's gone. They searched his computer already, his home computer, several computers, and just nothing. They brought us in on June 14th. Basically, you could see their faces, the two detectives who had worked on it, were just sort of crushed that they had to tell us that they were labeling it a cold case now. And they were so disheartened to have to tell Ellie that, and disheartened that it was going to be put, what is that, back burner? It's not even back burner. It's just kind of back there. Although it hasn't been a year. It's been a year since she supposedly died, but they opened it in February. So why wouldn't they keep it going from February till next February? I guess they count missing person from June to June. I guess that's what they're thinking. And they said, you know, then every year a cold case gets reopened and relooked at. And I think because of this situation, because of her, and they could tell that she was upset hearing that, they said they would open it every month then and relook at it.
The lack of leads in Angela's case is disheartening to everyone. But one of the things that sticks with Sarah the most is the fact that it seems like the investigation has turned up nothing, and Angela simply vanished.
The police had uncovered nothing. There's nothing. Out of all the 250 or however many leads, nothing led to anything because he's a smart guy and had plenty of time to do whatever he needed to do. I just think in a lot of cases, and I guess I don't know cases very well, but I just think as smart as people are also dumb and they leave things behind that they don't realize. And how come nothing was ever left behind, or how did he tie up every loose end? And then he had a lot of time to figure out what to do before he came and said, Mom died. That she, because Angela didn't have a credit card in her name or a bank account in her name, she didn't take her driver's license with her, that somebody could disappear and not be able to be found if you don't have anything to track you, no records to track you. So they're saying, you know, things like that on other cases, maybe we could look into that on this case and it could help us in some way, point in some direction. I don't know. It seems unlikely. How are you going to disappear? You need money or you need somebody to help you. I just don't know if it's possible for someone to disappear that easily without the means to do so. Or like I said, an accomplice, you know, somebody with you to help you along the way. And if she did have mental illness, well, I think that sort of impairs your ability to handle a lot of things. So I don't know, being able to disappear. I think you'd need all your wits about you to be able to pull that off, too.
Despite all the odds and everything that has happened in the past year, Ellie is flourishing today. We asked her what she felt when this all began and what she's going through now.
It's obviously been the hardest year of my life. Like, I would walk around campus and I'd pass a group of Chinese people and I would cry. Or I saw somebody who looked like my mom and I would turn around the block to go and see if it was her. I saw her missing persons report like come up on TV and my friends were right next to me playing Pong and I was looking at the TV in the garage and it seems so surreal that I have like two different situations, but I try to find happiness in everything. I've been super, super anxious and I've had a few times where I've been depressed. I go to therapy. Medication is there for a reason. So don't ever give up. And there's a lot of good in the world. There's a lot of good still waiting for you. So hopefully I can inspire some kid out there to keep going and to be strong. In the beginning, I never thought it would go on this long. I think that, well, there's a Chinese saying that like all criminals will have their time. So I don't think the way that my dad has covered his track so far has been perfect. So there will possibly be something in the future, yeah. I don't know how long that will be. This does drag out the 6-month grieving process into so much more, which absolutely sucks. Having to go through all that and then backtrack completely because she might be alive. I hope that we'll get answers at some point.
So what happened to 51-year-old Angela Green after she kicked Ellie out of the house on June 20th, 2019? Did she suffer some sort of mental health event and left on her own free will? Was there some kind of accident? Why did her husband Jeff tell Ellie stories that he later recanted and reshaped? Why did he tell the police a completely different story about Angela going out to party with friends that no one knew about? While researching this case, we learned that Jeff first told Ellie that Angela had been committed to a mental health facility, and then later admitted he lied about that. He told her that Angela died of a stroke, but there's no death certificate issued for her anywhere in the nation. And what about the bizarre story with the empty urn, delivered by an unknown person in exchange for cash? Did Jeff want Angela gone, and had several months to cover his tracks and hire an attorney before an investigation began? Ellie is determined to uncover the truth. Despite her last conversation with her mom being an argument, she's aware that her mom was struggling with undiagnosed mental health concerns. Ellie also knows that her mom poured all of herself into raising her. Ellie was everything to Angela. Whatever was going on with Angela in June of 2019, she was clearly in need of help. Ellie refuses to give up searching and seeking justice for her mom. At the time of her disappearance, Angela was 51 years old. She's 5'9" tall and weighs around 115 pounds. She has brown hair and brown eyes. If you have any information about the disappearance of Angela Green, you're asked to call the Prairie Village Police Department at 913-642-6868.
She left. So I don't feel that I need to go chase her. She wants to come back and talk about something. That's fine. I'm going to talk to her about it. But I'm not going to go. I was looking for somebody who left. You're trying to stick me into a story like Cinderella and the Prince, where I need to go out and find Cinderella. No, I'm sorry. She left. See ya. She made it very difficult, and she made it very clear that she did not want us around. And when I told her that she was going to go get checked out, I guess she decided that maybe it was better if she went, instead of trying to get us to go. I don't know. Until we talk to her, I don't know. Just another thought about what may or may not have occurred.
So if she's dead, we're never going to talk to her.
What's that?
If she's dead, we're never going to talk to her.
You never talked her in? If she's alive.
Why wouldn't you want to talk to her if she's alive?
I said, we may not, and you just twisted around, and we should stop. I said, we may not talk to her because maybe she doesn't want to talk to us. Not because I don't want to talk to her. And I know you want to talk to her, yes, which is great. If she is comes back, then by all means, you can talk to her.
You've also said that you don't want her back.
I didn't say that.
Yes, you did.
When did I say that?
Back in June when you told me that she was in a mental hospital and I asked you, is mom ever going to come back? And you said that I don't want her to unless she gets a lot better.
Right.
And right now she's not following the mental treatment.
I did not want her to come back if she was going to be the same way she was when she left. No, I didn't want her back. And I don't want her back now if she's going to be that same way.
That brings us to the end of episode 249. I'd like to thank everyone who spoke with us for this story. If you have a missing loved one that you'd like to have featured on the show, there's a case submission form at thevanishedpodcast.com. If you'd like to join in on the discussion, there's a page and discussion group on Facebook. I'm on Twitter at thevanishedpod and also on Instagram. If you enjoy this show, subscribe now and leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening right now. Do you want to help support the show? There are a couple things that you can do. One way to help The Vanished is by supporting our sponsors. You can find links and promo codes in the episode notes. Another way to support the show is by contributing on Patreon, where you can get early and ad-free episodes. Join me next time. I'll be covering a case from Florida. Thanks for listening.
Understand that anybody who's paid attention to the media would have to come to the conclusion that I killed my wife.
Hi, my name is Zach Stewart Pontier. I'm one of the filmmakers behind The Jinx, and I'm excited to bring you the official Jinx podcast. We'll be revisiting all 6 episodes of part 1 and watching along with part 2 as it airs on Max, starting April 21st.
Bye-bye.
The official Jinx podcast. Listen on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's all a lighthearted nightmare on our podcast, Morbid.
We're your hosts. I'm Alina Urquhart.
And I'm Ash Kelly.
And our show is part true crime, part spooky, and part comedy.
The stories we cover are well-researched.
He claimed and confessed to officially killing up to 28 people.
With a touch of humor.
I'd just like to go ahead and say that if there's no band called Malevolent Deity,
that is pretty great.
A dash of sarcasm and just garnished a bit with a little bit of cursing.
This motherfucker lied.
Like a liar.
Like a liar.
And if you're a weirdo like us and love to cozy up to a creepy tale of the paranormal,
or you love to hop in the Wayback Machine and dissect the details of some of history's most notorious crimes,
you should tune in to our podcast, Morbid. Follow Morbid on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to episodes early and ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.